This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I run an accountancy business called Cypher, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Alan Clark from Exponential Coaching. How are you doing, Alan?
I'm very well, Matt. I'm very well. It is sunny and I'm very much looking forward to our conversation today.
So am I. I'm going on holiday tomorrow, so I cannot wait. This is literally my last job before I go away on holiday. So happy days. And you were just telling me some amazing feedback about people listening to our apathy podcast, which makes me smile.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard an entrepreneur talk about it in a meeting, and he really, really enjoyed it, which was great. And I've also heard a senior nurse talk about it as well, and a couple of our other podcasts, and shared that round with her colleagues. And it's a bit of a thing. So there you go. We're just delighted it's making a difference to people.
Absolutely. I love the fact that it's different. The different sides of our podcast as well. Some people give us feedback on the very businessy ones. We seem to be getting good feedback on the more kind of mental, not mental health, but the ones around mindset. And so that's great news. And well, let's get going. What are we talking about today?
Well, then, if there are two sides of our podcast, so if one side is on business development, the other side's on human development, I think it's fair to say that this one is going to be on the human, the business development side. Today, we're going to talk about strategy.
Wow. Okay. This is quite interesting because I was literally talking to a business owner, well, two business owners today, actually, about a marketing strategy and how they have literally no marketing strategy, never had one, not sure if they need one. And we actually ended up pivoting that conversation into, well, what about the overall business strategy? And it's interesting that different business owners have different, they all have a strategy, but whether they voice it as their strategy, whether they'll map it out as well, whether it will be as in-depth as others is varies massively. But it goes back, we talked about business planning, didn't we? And this comes into that. You can't really, I don't think, write a business plan unless you've got a strategy that underpins it, right? That surely that's how they're linked. But what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I like a definition to start with. You know, I think it's really important when we're talking about something that we've got a common understanding about what that is. So just as you were doing that introduction, I Googled strategy, and it says two things. So strategy, number one, a plan of action designed to achieve a long-term or overall aim. And then second one is the art of planning and directing overall military operations. So this is in a specific context and movements in a war or battle, as in he was a genius when it came to military strategy. So that's the sort of stuff we're thinking. It definitely does have a bit of a longevity feel to it. And I think that's where some of the tension comes in. More and more, business feels like short term. And agile and quick and fast. And maybe that's why strategy isn't popping up as much as it could do.
So this feels, I'm very conscious that we don't want to repeat a lot of the conversation we had when we talked about mission statement. Because I think the smaller the business is, potentially the closer the mission statement and the strategy are to being one and the same. Would you agree with that? However, when you said to me, let's talk about strategy today, I thought, okay, the first place I'm going to stop then when I start thinking about this is, what's my strategy? What's the Cypher strategy? And I'm not sure I've got a coherent answer to that. I know when we set the business up, we knew, right, here we go. And I appreciate, I talk about when we set our business up every podcast, and I'm going to try not to talk forever about how we set our business up. But when we did, we knew what we wanted the firm to be. So we knew we wanted to be different, and we knew we wanted to be different because of this and that and this and that. And then we've pursued that, and we've kind of, the rest of the industry is moving into the space that we're in, and we're now trying to keep, you know, our gap to them. And it's not to the whole industry, but it's the majority. We're trying to keep that gap. And I wonder if that's our strategy, to be that step or two ahead of the mainstream in our industry. But then is that a strategy? And this is a genuine question. I don't know the answer to this. Is that the strategy, or is that the kind of the method that we've got to enact whatever strategy we actually have?
I love that. Right. So I'm going to play my role as business coach here. I think what you've described there is a vision or a strategic intent. A strategic intent is to get two or three steps ahead of the pack. The set of actions underneath that is the strategy. Like, okay. Only because I work with you, I know you have got a set of actions under the bonnet to get yourself two or three steps ahead. I know you have. So these actions would be the strategy, or could be the strategy. You could call that the strategy, but the strategic intent is to get two or three spaces ahead of the pack. I read a book once, and I cannot remember what it was called, but the author actually had a definition of strategy, which I really liked and used quite a lot, which is strategy is a set of actions that win. So okay. If you've then got maybe four or five strategic intents or clarity on what spaces you want to win, then the series of actions to get them there, and you could arguably say, well, that's an action plan. Yeah. Maybe we're splitting hairs here. The set of actions underneath that strategic intent, there's your strategy.
Okay. So actually, yeah, when you first mentioned strategy, I'm thinking it's the big overall kind of top of your pillar of business planning. Actually, that's really well described by you there. It's actually underneath a couple of elements. It's underneath your mission statement. It's underneath your overall goal. And it's the plan to get you there. So it's your four 90-day plans create your annual strategy. Is that what we're saying?
I think so. I think that would be a useful way. Now, to be fair to you there, you in your mind, your perception of strategy has this sort of long-term overarching. When we defined it there, that played to that as well. If I picked up the Harvard Business Review, I suspect that's your examples of strategy as well. So it definitely does play to, and certainly the way it's used in culture, to a big old plan that will do something spectacular over the long term. However, I'm not sure that's particularly useful and helpful to most businesses. But speaking in the language of, okay, our strategic intent is to create the best customer care on the high street, or our strategic intent is to have 200 clients by 6 months from now, or then the set of actions underneath there, I would say that's your strategy. And I think that's much more useful. It feels more nimble and agile. And doable, quite frankly, I was going to say something like maybe a big consultant firm coming in and it's a 10-year strategy, that maybe just seems too distant to too many people, including myself. My mind, I struggle with that. That's too far out, and therefore for me that loses helpfulness.
Well, with a lot of things, you know, the reason everyone and his dog will tell you to write a 90-day plan and not a 5-year plan is because it's too much to take in. It's too much to, the human brain is not wired to kind of fixate on a goal 5 years out without those steps in between, right? It just won't happen. You need to be succinct in your strategy then, is what we're saying. The smaller chunks it's in, the easier it is for the business owner or the you know, the senior managers or whoever it is that's actioning that, the easier it is for them to digest it, action it, and then see the wins. And that's the important bit, right? Is to achieve every time you achieve an element of your strategy, back to the military thing, the strategy is, you know, the aim is to win the war. The strategy is what wins you the battles. Every battle won is a box ticked, a pat on the back, and a kind of bit of momentum into the next one, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think what we try and do in our podcast is bring a concept and make it accessible, you know? And there's a load of definitions of strategy. It throws up so many different connotations for so many people. But, you know, I've also heard in growing up in organizations, some phrases bandied about, like, what space are we playing in and how are we going to win? That might be marketing, it might not be, but I kind of like that too, because that's what do you mean by what space are we playing in and how are we going to win? But for me, that's got a strategic feel about it. You know, there's thought, what space are we in?
Yeah.
And how are we going to win?
What are the rules of this game that we're playing? I think we think we can get our teeth into here. So, funnily enough, and despite appearances, we don't plan this podcast quite as well as it may seem. Last night I was reading an article and it was all about a really interesting email that had been sent, and it was all about strategy. So let me set the scene, okay? You may not be aware, Apple are in a giant lawsuit at the moment with Epic about how money from games within the Apple App Store, how it's, you know, how it's moved between the different interested parties, what they can sell through it, what they can't. And in part of this lawsuit, loads and loads of hitherto unseen paperwork is kind of surfacing because it's becoming kind of public knowledge in court. And one of them is Apple runs a retreat every year called the Top 100, right? So it's a top secret, super exclusive kind of away day for the 100 most influential employees in Apple. So it's not the most senior. It's the ones that at this point, 2010, Steve Jobs has decided is the most influential employees. And they go away. And this email that came out was the agenda that Steve Jobs has sent to the 100 people that are going. This is the agenda, and it's entitled 2011 Strategy. So this is the head of what was about to become the biggest company in the world, to his top employees, his strategy for the whole of the entire next 12 months, and it's 6 bullet points.
Wow.
And we can go through them. It's amazing, actually. So the first two points on his 6-point agenda are two questions. Who are we and what do we do? And then you can imagine there's a traditional Steve Jobs presentation with a massive PowerPoint screen behind him talking all about who are Apple, who are the people, who are they serving, what are they doing, right? That all makes perfect sense. But it was a lot of this conversation appears to be from anecdotal evidence from people that were there. It was all about the fact that Apple was at that point in a big turnaround. Steve Jobs had set it up. It had done okay. Then he'd left. Now he'd come back. They pivoted away from what they were doing into the world of iPhones and iPads. And the whole, that part of his presentation was all about pivoting and the fact that the business now is not what the business was. And that in 5 years' time, it won't be the business it was at that point. And that all makes sense, right? The next bullet point is all about the fact that they were just moving into the post-PC era. So their strategy as a business was to get consumers away from doing computery things on PCs and laptops and on to doing them onto the iPhone and the iPad. Like, this is back at the time, I think the iPad had literally just launched. Like, it was, must be a year or no more than a year, 2 years old. And yet it'd gone from nothing, literally no one had a tablet, to selling more than people sold laptops in 2 years. That's, you know, that's mind-boggling, really, isn't it? But there's a whole point on that, you know, what are we doing well? is kind of the thinking there. Then the next section is, sorry, the next section is all about, he called it the holy war with Google. So back then, they realized that they were pivoting away from what they were doing, making laptops and Macs, into this new world of computing on your palm of your hand. And they realized that that was going to lead them into direct competition with Google, who at that point were growing their own empire away from just the search engines and into tech and operating systems, and it started to overlap. And so he's, what he's done here, if we recap, the first 4 points is all about who we are and what we do. Then it's about what our products are and where our aim for our products, how we're doing stuff. Now we're into learning about our competition or learning from our competition. Then he is next. So the fifth point of his six is that his mind is that the wider picture is that 2011 is going to be the year of the cloud. So the year that majority of businesses and individuals learn to operate within the cloud environment, which is now standard, right? All of the software I use in my business is cloud. It's only 10 years ago that was the next big idea. And we're only 10 years on, and look at the uptake now. Like, you'd be crazy to go and spend $4,000 on a server. Steve Jobs was there 10 years ago. Like, this is the next big thing. So he's looking at, that was the big thing. They'd made the big step into this computing in the palm of your hand. Then the big thing for the next year was all about moving to the cloud. So he's got who we are and what we do, what our products are, what our competition's doing, what the overall goal for next year is, and what the market is doing. And then the final thing was the fact, was kind of looking into the future, and the fact that in 5 years' time, so 2015, Apple were opening up their headquarters, this Apple Park that they're in now, which is just this gigantic building. And obviously that's certainly 175 acres, I think that place is. It's phenomenally big. He's looking at, it's not on our radar now, but we are moving and stuff is happening already. And that, you know, we need to be ready so that in 5 years' time, we move into that and it's seamless. That's that's taking me, 5 minutes to explain the agenda. That's the biggest company in the world, and he's running it off of kind of standard principles, right? Who we are, what we do, what our product is, what the market's doing, what the next big thing is, what our 5 year goal is. And you can't say anything but that was a phenomenal success. If you look at the success of Apple from 2010, when that email was sent, to 2015, when they moved into their campus, there's never been a business with the success that they had, is there? That's just phenomenal. They went to the biggest business in the world. But it all translates back. You could take those four questions and put it to any business on the planet, and actually you're going to get a decent set of action points if you do it properly. There you go. I will be quiet for a bit, Alan, and let you digest that.
I love that, you know, and I tell you why I love it. It's existential, you know. It really is about introspection and looking inside and strengthening oneself and asking big existential questions like, who are we? What are we doing? So for the biggest company in the world to ask themselves, who are we and what are we doing? Especially in the context of, we've just released the iPad, blah, 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 is incredible. But what
and that's your, sorry, just, that, sorry, that's your, that who we are and what do we do? That is the basis of your mission statement question. When we were talking about mission statement months ago, they're the two questions that we ask ourselves. And it obviously works because Apple are doing it. Sorry, you carry on, Alan. I interrupted you.
Then. Oh, that's great. That's you've just compared me to Steve Jobs. So I really appreciate that, Matt. Thank you for that, doing that live on air. I'll take that any day. That's brilliant. Just for clarity, Matt compared me to Steve Jobs. That's what I heard. But all of that, but strengthen themselves. And there was one other point, identifying at that point who they thought their biggest competitor was and getting ready for the holy war. I mean, that's brilliant. I'm strengthening myself. There's the bad guy. Get ready. That's a pretty impressive, effective strategy, isn't it?
Especially when they identified very early on that their main competitor was not Samsung, who make other mobile smartphones. And it wasn't IBM, who were making PCs. It wasn't, you know, Adobe that are making, you know, design software. It was someone completely different outside of their core business. But it played out. Google and Apple now do, you know, they work together very well, but they do compete and overlap a huge amount. And understanding, I guess, from their point of view, that's understanding where your industry is going and actually what the big competitor is not necessarily the people you think it is it? It could be someone doing, you know, it's the same result for your clients or customers, but in a completely different product or service.
And it started this near the start. I asked a question or had a bit of a clarity around what space are we playing in and how will we win? Steve Jobs' 6 bullet points absolutely answers that, doesn't it? You know, so I thank you for sharing. And, you know, I think this is, I've certainly really galvanized and enthused about the word strategy again. And I can see how it can be really effective at strengthening your business and winning. You know, just to have you to think like that, just slightly different thinking. We can all fall in love with strategy.
It always comes back to giving yourself the time and the space to think. I can imagine Steve Jobs is a busy man in 2010, right? I think he was still, I'm trying to think, I've read his book, but it was a long time ago, but I think he was relatively healthy back then. Mm-hmm. He's a busy man. How much time do you think he had to sit there and actually switch off everything and sit there and spend 2 hours thinking this stuff through? I mean, he's obviously a bit of a, you know, he's a genius, right? So he's very successful, you can imagine he's quick as a, you know, quick as can be, but he must have spent some time sitting and thinking. And that's the bit that your average business owner does not give themselves time to do.
Therefore, not giving themselves a set of actions that win.
Exactly. They're just fighting fires. Mm-hmm. What else do we need to cover then to fully round out our strategy conversation? Do you think there's a place for multiple strategies? So, for example, let me explain myself. We have a marketing strategy, right? Lots of businesses have an overall marketing strategy. Do they take that on then to what's our strategy for recruitment? How do we look after our people? Do we have a strategy for servicing our customers or making sure that we're cutting edge or that our service is great or that we're always making sure our, you know, our suppliers and material costs are as low as they can be or as effective? Do you think the average business plan / business owner is distinct, like compartmentalizing these different strategies, or do you think it's all merged into one? And do you think they would gain benefit from actually ignoring the rest of the business and let's just write our marketing strategy, or let's just understand the cash flow and whether we've got the right strategy to making sure that we've got the right amount of cash in our business and we're funded as we need to be and that kind of thing? Do you think there's value in picking it apart, building four individual strategies, then bringing it back together?
Yes, that absolutely, for sure. You know what? You know, my favorite word is clarity, and clarity is the opposite of confusion. So, you know, by getting really clear on strategic intent for my business or mission of my business, vision of my business, getting really clear on that, and then identifying spaces where I want to win, be it marketing, be it getting the best people in, be it the best client experience, that a healthier cash flow, whatever would make the biggest positive difference to my company, let's call it the big rocks, let's use that Stephen Covey big rocks phrase. Right, we've identified that. Right, what are the set of actions within that, i.e. the strategy that will drive that? I think if more people led like that, we would have more and more successful businesses. for sure. I think that is really useful.
I agree 100%. I also, you said something in there which kind of clicked in my brain. You said that what are we going to do to create these wins? But before we do that strategy piece, then we need to understand what winning looks like, don't we? You need to understand what is the finish line here, or what is the win? Is it 100k of revenue a month? Is it £1 million for the year? Is it taking home £3,000 a month? Is it spending the weekends with the kids? Every business owner has a different goal and a different drive, but you can't build your strategy, or you'd be crazy to build your strategy before you've thought about what you actually want to achieve, right? And it's not always binary. It's not, there isn't always a finish point for a business, is there?
So if you build a strategy around confusion, you're going to create bigger confusion. If you build a strategy around clarity, you're going to build clarity. You're going to build from there. So you're absolutely right. That's it. That I had that very question in a coaching session with a chief exec on Monday. What does winning look like for you right now? And that 45 minutes of conversation flowed from that. That's a brilliant question, Matt.
And I don't think enough business owners have that as a, they may have it as their obvious answer. The amount of businesses that, I want to get to £1 million. But I always sit and think, no, I'm not sure you do. What does £1 million achieve you? You know, you could go and buy, you know, Joe Bloggs, the small business, and add a load of revenue. He's not going to add any more profit necessarily. What does it matter? Understanding, I think it's only from actually really sitting and thinking and go past the big numbers and I want to sell in 3 years or I want to do this. There's something behind why you want to do that, isn't there? Mm. And it's, that's the win. And then you work it back from there. Because I was with a business owner today, actually, and we were chatting away about we were building a forecast for 3 years, right? So we talked a lot about action plans and how we were going to increase these numbers and reduce those numbers, etc. And we ended up talking about what they're going to draw out of the business. And they, you know, it's a successful business, right? They're drawing $6,000-7,000 a month out, right? So to a lot of people, that would be the win, right? I know a lot of business owners that $6,000 a month coming out of would be a phenomenal result. And he said, I need to take more than this out because we've been doing it for nearly four years now, and I'm still not back to the level I was at in my old job. And that's where I need to be. Like, not because, you know, not because we need that much money, but it just, I can't feel like I've won or achieved anything until I've at least got back to where I was. And I totally get that. And it was quite an honest conversation because, you know, like you said, it wasn't because he needs the money. It wasn't because they want to go and buy this big house. It was just because mentally he wants to feel like he can do it on his own and achieve those numbers from just himself and not from the big organization that he was at. But he also said that was the first time he'd had that conversation in 4 years. He'd not, almost not admitted it to himself that was the number. He was, you know, he was making sure he had cash in the bank to pay the staff and he was growing his revenue and growing his team. But actually the key factor in it was this magic number that he needed to take home. And the crazy thing was, it's like, well, take that now then. Like, he stockpiled, you know, phenomenal amounts of cash in that business. Like, the only reason you're not taking it is because no one's ever given you the nod. And actually, no one needs to give you the nod because the money's there, the profits are there. And there you go, happy client now. But it's amazing the mind, like, if we hadn't had that off-chance conversation while we were talking about his forecast, it would never have come up and he'd have carried on being slightly... He's just not quite as happy with his business as maybe he is now. So there we go.
Wow.
Should we recap? Because I think we've covered a lot today. I've really enjoyed this, but we have rattled through. This is definitely the quickest half an hour I think we've done so far. It doesn't feel like that at all. But what have we talked about? And you sum up for us.
Thanks for that, Matt. In the last 30 minutes, we have talked about strategy. And actually, we defined it at the start. And we've talked about what strategy is and also, we talked about strategic intent, which is different than strategic actions, but the strategy is in the actions. The intent is maybe more of a vision or maybe even a feeling, but what purpose, what strategic intent, and then the strategy under the bonnet, a set of actions that win. We then talked about Apple in 6 points, and it was a brilliant 5 minutes. Go back and listen to that. And what came up for me was how existential it was, how actually introspective it was, and it very much about answering big, big questions like who are we, what are we up to? But did have an eye on the big competitor at that space, really effective. And then we moved into, you asked a brilliant question just about multiple strategies and getting really clear on marketing and recruitment and cash flow. And I talked about the big rocks. So if we're really, really clear about what we want to create in our business, then we work out the big rocks under that. And then it's the strategic actions, a set of actions that win. I think we both agreed that keeping it nimble and agile, 90 days, 180 days, 6 months rather than 5 years, 10 years, certainly for most businesses, that's a lot easier. And I think we've concluded that strategy actually is useful.
More than useful. I think that fantastic. As our new strategy needs to be for you to do the summing up, because that was bang on. So there you go. That is our two pennies worth on strategy. I hope you all found it useful. I found it massively useful. I will try and link to this email of Steve Jobs. I'll try and find it. I think it's a Twitter post I saw it on. So I will find that and link it under the notes. As ever, if you like what you hear, any feedback is good feedback. 5-star ratings on Apple is obviously the best feedback though. So if you're so inclined, do click the box. Otherwise, we will be back, I want to say next week, but it might be the week after because I'm away in Cornwall now. But we'll be back soon with more podcast gold. So with that, that's all for me, and that's all for my friend Alan.
Bye-bye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.